Well, good morning. Happy Lord's Day. I just want to begin with a few songs like last time, and then we'll close with a prayer, and then we'll have our sermon. But this week's a little different because we're starting in my living room, and I have a helper who's going to help me out. Carter, why don't you come forward over here and help me out? And Carter is a joy to be able to have join us this morning singing, pick some songs he's familiar with, and hopefully you're familiar with them as well. And so what we're going to do is we are going to, again, lead in three songs, Carter and I, and then we'll leave our living room and head to the church together where the sermon will be preached. So there you have it. Join me and Carter in worship. The first song we're going to be singing is one we've opened several services up with. It's Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.
Prayer that the Lord would open up the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that we can see Him, so that we can know Him more dear this morning, so that our worship would be authentic and from the heart. That is our prayer. Thank you, Carter, joining me in that song. We got a few more songs, don't we?
Yeah.
The next song we have is You Are God Alone. I think this song is very appropriate for the timing we're in. Oftentimes when the world is difficult and things begin to spiral out of control, it's good to remember that the Lord is still on His throne.
Yep.
And so He is still in charge. He is still in control. And so join in singing You Are God Alone.
We can give by your plans. That's just times and bad. You are on your throne, and you are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. Everything we can give to our God, that's just the way it is. You are God alone, from before time began. You are on your throne, and you are God alone. Right now, unstoppable, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. You are God alone, from before time began.
What a great song to be joining together this morning from the comforts of our own living room. Well, how about you get a sip of that coffee? And while you do that, I will get the song adjusted for this last song, which is 10,000 Reasons. You know, while we have been sort of shut up in our own living rooms and our own houses, hopefully you've had the time to slow down and just count your blessings. For truly, we are very blessed people. Even in this time, we have so many things that the Lord has given and provided and blessed us with, from family and to each other, to just having this wonderful relationship with the God of all creation, who is sovereignly in control of all things. And so, join us in singing 10,000 Reasons, or some of you may know it as Bless the Lord.
It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Holy name. God's here, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. We will worship your holy.
Sing with me, bud.
Welcome.
Hopefully your heart's been blessed this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this time together. I thank you just for the opportunity once again that we have to worship you collectively where we are. Even though we're separate, Lord, we're gathered together in our worship, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you have been honored and glorified through the very words that we are singing to you, Lord, for you are truly amazing and wonderful and worthy of our praise. And so, Father, as our hearts are prepared now for your word and what you will have for us, I pray, Lord, that you will teach us great things. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you at church. Well, good morning. I trust you had a good time joining me and the boys and singing a few songs. And this morning, as you can see, I'm not in my living room. And this morning, I decided to venture out to church in order to just give you a look of our sanctuary. It's been what you've been looking at all of those Sundays in the past, and I'm sure maybe some of you have missed it like I have. And so that's the desire this morning, to preach from here with the pulpit behind me, the cross in front of me, and the screen that says, welcome to New Hope Bible Church. And so we do welcome you with us this morning as we seek to gain instruction from God's Word. This morning's passage of Scripture we're going to look at is a continuation from last week, where we found ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 8 and 9 was last week. Today we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. So, if you need to, go grab your Bibles and return to your couch, and maybe grab a cup of coffee as well, like I do, and join me. And as we begin to look at this passage in verse 10, it begins with a certain phrase. Peter draws our attention to this phrase. He says, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days," let's stop there. That's all of us. In fact, we often wish that very thing for most people we see, even strangers. By far, the most common words of departure I hear from the girl scanning my food in the grocery store to the neighbor waving from across his fence, to the stranger at the bank, or even the couple walking their dogs is, "Have a nice day." We say these four words without even thinking, and although it is partially true, for we do hope for good things to come upon strangers, even, out of the kindness of our hearts, but we don't really think about that as being particularly true for them. We don't dwell upon others' lives and good days necessarily, unless they are connected to us. But I guarantee you that each one of us thinks often about how we can pursue good days, how we can pursue love and life in this earth. And so, therefore, these words ring true to almost every day of our life. In fact, men, women, and children alike spend their entire lives trying to define and pursue life, love, and good days. And yet so many people squander it away, chasing after the wrong things in life. Things such as power, social status, wealth, beauty. All of those things are fleeting and can easily be stripped away. In fact, we've actually had most of those things stripped away the last few weeks. This world that we are in right now seems to have come to a screeching halt because of this coronavirus pandemic. And because of it, therefore, there is no real great difference between a wealthy individual or a beautiful individual or a popular individual, because this virus has become an equalizer of sorts. Therefore, with that stripped away, and the level field being leveled, the playing field being leveled, let us talk about where we can find life, love, and good days. What's the answer to this age-old pursuit? Is it popularity like King David and power like King David? Or is it absolute wisdom like Solomon? Perhaps it's wealth, as Job was the wealthiest man on the earth when he lived. Or is it beauty, like Esther? What's the answer to this age-old pursuit? Well, that's where Peter continues on for us. So hopefully I've given you enough time to open up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read it together. Verse 10 begins, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that your word, your inspired word, would touch our very hearts, Lord, that it would once again guide us, give us direction, Lord. May your spirit illuminate the truth for us that you have for each and every one of us, Lord, as we seek to apply it to our everyday circumstances, particularly during this time together in our living rooms. And so, Father, we pray that your word would come alive off the pages to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, these three verses, 10, 11, and 12, they're connected to verses 8 and 9. And if we remember, verses 8 and 9 is talking about that inward beauty that we are to strive for and how that inward beauty will directly impact our outward actions or behavior. And then verse 9 ends by saying, "You were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." I believe that verses 10, 11, and 12 speak to this blessing that we inherit through righteous living. So, let us look briefly at these keys to enjoying your life. And then we'll look at another truth found in verse 12 about how God is with us to help us during this time. So, the first point or the first thing we will look at are the keys to enjoying your life. Verse 10 says, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days," that's all of us. The first key, must keep his tongue from evil. Let's stop there. Peter is quoting from Psalm 34 here. And in so doing, he reminds us of the age-old truth that how we use our speech will impact our quality of life. That's sort of a no-brainer, but we don't always think about it in those terms, and especially in the moment. Now, I know I don't need to remind you of this, but our tongue, our speech, has the potential to do great good or great damage to those around us. James, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue set among our members is that which defiles our entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Those are some pretty strong words talking about our tongue and the potential it has to be used to cause great damage Now, we don't have to live very long to have been on the receiving end of those linguistic flames that James talks about. Even the youngest of us, the smallest of children, have had their feelings hurt by what others say. It's interesting to me that it can take a lifetime to build trust with another person and just a mere matter of seconds to destroy it with an unthoughtful word. When unguarded, our tongues can do tremendous damage through hurtful words like insults and name-calling. They can also do tremendous good. But Peter begins here with the negative. He says that we are to keep our tongue from evil. Not only are we to do that, but also from deception, speaking lies. The root word for deception means to bait. It's used in such a way linguistically that it means to bait someone like a fisherman would bait a fish and pull it in. That's what a lie does, is it baits someone to pull them in to our grander schemes for our own selfish motives. Whether that means to get out of trouble, whether that means to gain something that would benefit us. That's what speaking lies has to do with most of the time. And there is nothing that breaks apart the character of an individual like deception. For if you lie to others and are found out, it can take a lifetime to earn their trust back again. We must make certain that we speak the truth, even when it does not benefit us. And so we need to use our speech in a good way to speak encouraging words to others, building them up, Scripture tells us, edifying one another, speaking in with graciousness and kindness and love. But we are also to speak the truth as well. So we are to stay away from speaking with wicked tongues and deception. That is the first key to enjoying your life, to pursuing life, love, and goodness, is to keep your tongue from evil and deceit. And in its place, become a person who is known to speak the truth in grace and love. That's a wonderful truth for us to work with this day. But Peter doesn't stop there. That's only one of the keys to enjoying your life. The second key is found as we continue on in verse 11, where Peter says he must turn away from evil and do good. Interestingly enough, in these three keys, Peter uses that phrase, he must. He must. He is very passionately encouraging us, strongly recommending us, telling us that this is the only way that enjoying your life will work. You must do these things. And that second key has to do with abandoning something and pursuing another thing in its place. So what are we to abandon? Verse 11, he must turn away from evil. The Greek word for turn away is a verb that means to intensely reject something, to intensely reject something. It doesn't merely mean to look the other way, but it means to turn and run the other way, to not just set something down, but to throw it as far away as you can. Not to just push your plate to the side, but to spit out as quickly as you can. In this context, Peter is speaking about these difficult relationships we find ourselves in with the world around us. One where we are often being mistreated, slandered, lied to, and even threatened. In that very real situation, we are to resist responding in evil by running away from it. Don't even get near it. This is nothing to play around with. Now, when I think of running away from something, I'm brought back to my youth when I heard this illustration that I thought was pretty funny. I don't know if it's a true story, but I tend to believe it is. And so this story was from I believe it was an article that shared some of the dumb things that criminals do. And this story begins with a teenager who robbed a gas station convenience store one night and took off into the woods with police in hot pursuit. You can picture it in your mind. There he is, running into the woods. He's zigging stumps and branches and zagging trees to move around as quickly as he could. And no matter what movement he made, it seemed like the police were always one step ahead of him. Finally, at the very end of the pursuit, he was caught. There was nowhere else to run, and the police caught him. As he tried to catch his breath, he looked up at the police and he said, How did you catch me so quickly? You see, he thought he would be covered by the darkness and in woods. He would be able to escape fairly easily with that which he stole. And yet, the police caught him so quickly. So his question was understandable. How'd you catch me so quickly? The police responded back to him, and this is the funny part to me. They responded back to him and said, well, we saw every move you made. As every step you took, your shoes lit up in the night. You see, this thief was wearing some of those light-up shoes that we see the kids have these days. And as he was running through the woods, they saw everything, every step he made. And so therefore, they were able to anticipate his path, cut him off, and catch him. Not a very smart move. But that's what I think of as we run the other way. Like as if something is chasing us. We want nothing to do with wickedness, with evil things. We run the other way. We are to run from evil, not as fools like this thief that we just talked about, but we are to run with direction, with a plan, with a strategy. And Peter doesn't just tell us that we need to abandon something, reject something, run away from something, turn aside from something, but he also tells us that we need to pursue something that's good. So what is that something that's good? Well, let's look at it. He must turn away, intensely reject evil, and in its place, move toward doing good. We are to run towards doing good. This doesn't just mean that we're to surround ourselves by that which is good. For example, the Word of God and other believers, those are good things. We do need to surround ourselves by those things. But this is a little different verb here. It means that we are to be the ones actively doing the good. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5, 39 through 41, the famous Sermon on the Mount. He says, "But I say to you," in verse 39, "do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat as well. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Interesting. Jesus gives us actions to replace our default position of responding in retaliation when bad things happen to us. He says, do not respond in those evil ways, Peter tells us. Turn away from them intensely, strongly, run away from them and replace them with doing good. Godly actions. Now, the things we're told that will bring us good life and love are defined by doing whatever feels good. This is different than what the world tells us, to do whatever feels good. This means doing godly things, doing goodness towards others. Whatever feels good is often defined by whatever we desire. That comes sometimes, it looks like drugs, alcohol, food, entertainment, etc. But that is in contrast to what Peter tells us brings a good life, the pursuit of doing good. This looks different each day of our lives. In this chapter of our lives, the one where we are social distancing ourselves from others, we're to pursue doing good by being intentional with how we are using our time in our homes with each other. Are you being intentional with this time with your family right now? Are you intentionally seeking to grow in your walk with God during this time of social distancing? You have perhaps more time than you normally would. Are you taking full advantage of that? That speaks to us pursuing good in this circumstance of our life? How are we using this time with our family to point each other towards Christ? So the second key to enjoying your life is to turn away from evil and to do good. Verse 11 continues on. Not only are we to do those things, not only are we to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit and turning away from evil and doing good, but Peter says he must seek peace and pursue it. This is the third key to enjoying your life, seeking and pursuing peace. Now, in this context, this is not simply referring to a lack of chaos. This is speaking of aggressively seeking and chasing after peaceful relationships. And in fact, in verse 8, Peter tells us that we are to all be harmonious. This is the same idea here. Again, where we live in a world that feeds on division, there seems to be a lack of ability to disagree on anything in a peaceful way. So when the world is boiling over with division and discord, we are to be peacemakers. This means that we are to be more than just a people who avoid conflict at all costs. We are to be people who purposefully pursue peace in every relationship, especially in this hostile environment. That involves having a humble approach to how you view yourself. For I believe that pride is the biggest culprit when it comes to peaceful relationships. So there you have it. We have, by God's word, unlocked the keys to enjoying your life. Don't just keep your tongue from evil and deceit, but speak truth. Don't just turn away from wickedness, but pursue good. Don't just avoid conflict, but seek and pursue peace. And remember, Peter's telling the church to act this way in the midst of difficulty and great sufferings, on the eve of persecution, as aliens, both geographically and spiritually in this world. They are to act this way. Now, this is hard enough to do during the good times in life, but it's near impossible when life is difficult and circumstances are out of our control, which is why verse 12 is so important for us to wrap things up this morning. Verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer." Second thing that we need to highlight this morning is that a reminder that in those difficult times, those difficult circumstances, as we are striving to live righteously, do not give up, because God is with you and he is on your side. Verse 12 begins, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous." You're not alone. God sees every struggle within your life. He knows when you have plenty and when you are in need. He knows exactly what you are dealing with, how you are feeling, and your heart's desires. Now, when I look inward, that's both a good and bad thing. That's not every thought, feeling, and reaction of mine is righteous. But when we strive to live in such a way as described in the previous verses, the Lord is watching and he is with us. And because he sees you where you are, he will graciously care for you and reward your right living. That's some of that blessing that we inherit as we walk in righteousness. This is Peter's encouragement to us. God is with you. And when you cry out for help, he will hear. Not only does he say the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, but in verse 12 he says, and God's ears attend to their prayer. This verb that Peter uses under inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaks to more than just hearing our cries for help, but implies action, movement. God is with you and promises to answer your prayers. This is a great encouragement for the righteous. What a blessing to have God's attention, his ears, knowing that he will act accordingly to his word and his will. For God is on the side of righteousness. However, verse 12 ends with sort of a warning for us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, the way I see this verse is really twofold, or at least this portion of the verse. First, it's a reminder that the King of Kings and Lord of Gods, God Almighty, is on your side and he will judge the wicked. You continue to pursue the things that bring about a good life and let God deal with the wickedness of the world around you. That's important for us to remember. Secondly, this is a great motivator for us to remain in the fold with the righteous. There's nothing worse that I can think of than to have God in opposition to you. So allow this to be a great motivator for you to live righteously. So in conclusion, how does this enter into our circumstances this day? For me, this means that I have to live in close quarters without any sort of break from my beloved family. And as I do that, during this time of social distancing, I am to continue to walk in obedience to God's word, striving and pursuing peace, speaking in love and encouragement toward my family. Even when tensions run high and we are getting a little cabin fever, we're to speak in love towards one another. We're to pursue the things that are good, doing devotions together, praying for one another and with one another, helping others during this time as a family unit. That is how I am going to take some of this application from this passage. But it must be made clear to you what application you will take. Know for one thing, though, for certain, that your quality of life will be impacted by your righteous living. May God help us all to walk in obedience to His word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do need your help. We come to you this morning, Lord. We grapple with your word. We seek to understand it, Father. And those points you've highlighted for us this morning through the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray we would apply to our lives. Help us to live as you would have us live. And help us to know how to do that in today's unique circumstances we find ourselves in. Father, we thank you that you are with us, that you see us, you know our every need, and you promise to attend to our prayers. And so, Father, may you help us this morning walk in righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a great rest of the day and week. If anything comes up, I would recommend you getting on our YouTube channel, or if you have a Facebook page, join our Facebook group, check our website as we seek to continue to upload devotionals and both in writing and also video format for you along the days to come, so you can continually come back to God's word and be encouraged as we are separate yet together through the internet. Well, have a blessed day.